Game seven.
You're Locked On Oilers, your daily podcast on the Edmonton Oilers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, that is right. It is game seven. The Oilers force game seven on Saturday night. What a game six. Game seven, the two most electric words in sports, and the Oilers and the Kings are going to have it on Saturday night. We will take a full-on look at what happened in game six to force game seven in today's episode, plus just how well did that Oilers defense fare without Darnell Nurse. Plus, we'll also go through the good, the bad, and the ugly from game six. All that and more on today's episode of Locked On Oilers. I am your host and former Oilers game day producer, Brett Holden, and let's get right into it. Thank you so much for making Locked On Oilers your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you find your podcast. Plus, if you're one of our new followers and watchers and subscribers on YouTube, hello. How's it going? Happy Friday, everybody. Oh, it's a happy Friday, as it has been a tough week for the Edmonton Oilers and Edmonton Oilers fans everywhere. But let's take a deep breath together, everybody. Game seven, the Oilers force game seven. But before that, game six had all the stops you could honestly possibly think about without it being a blowout. The Oilers started off just as the Oilers needed to start off. As we said in yesterday's episode, the three things that the Oilers needed to do to be successful in game number six. Number one, take the crowd out of the game, and that's what they did when they scored. Number two, the first goal of the game. And Connor McDavid did just that, which was massive for the Oilers. The Oilers stars did exactly what they needed to in a massive game. It felt like it was something Oilers fans haven't felt in a while, because it seemed like the Oilers stars just hadn't shown up in the massive games that they needed to until tonight. And finally, the third thing that the Oilers needed to do was to up that physicality. And the Oilers were physical. They were coming out and banging bodies all the time. Let's be honest here. Josh Archibald has been something that the Oilers had missed throughout the entire season. Something that a lot of people, if you ask them what the Oilers' problem was, that there wasn't enough physicality. Then the Oilers bring up this, 6'9", it feels like, Marcus Niemelainen, and he's out there hitting 10 hits a game, throwing 10 hits a game. Guy still is like third on the Oilers team in hits, and he played 11 games. He had 81 hits. Well, it was beautiful for the Oilers, and now Josh Archibald and a couple other Oilers are starting to throw their weight around, and it has been beneficial for the Oilers. The Oilers thrived when they were throwing hits. The Oilers thrived when they were getting pucks on net and making Jonathan Quick uncomfortable. Jonathan Quick at times was flopping all over the net, looking like vintage Jonathan Quick when you're looking at him going, oh, what is this man doing here? Why is he flopping all over the place? He looked like vintage Jonathan Quick when vintage Jonathan Quick is uncomfortable. And that is how the Oilers really started to take a hold of the game when they needed to. They got the big scrums, especially at the start of the game. They really got into the scrums in the first period, and it seemed like every single time there was a scrum, the Oilers would get away with it or skate away from the scrum with something extra going on in the Kings' head. Now, also in the first period, as we saw, quite an ugly takedown by Mikey Anderson, who has just been a pest for the Oilers, well, for the Kings, but a pest, a thorn in the Oilers' side since game one. And honestly, I have been kind of disgusted by a bunch of the things Mikey Anderson has done. He DDT'd Ryan Nugent-Hopkins in game four. DDT'd like a wrestler, Jake the Snake Roberts almost got up out of his feet and went, that was impressive, kid. Then he comes out here and slew foots Leon Draisaitl. Now, Leon Draisaitl played the entire game on one foot because Mikey Anderson decides to be, and excuse me here, an idiot. An idiot. The only time I've ever actually noticed Mikey Anderson in this series is when he's doing something stupid. I honestly thought Hunter Ryan Singh was saying the wrong player when he said Mikey Anderson had the puck at 40 with number 44, because I thought he was a different number. He's been so out of the series unless he's been doing something stupid. And then the only time I can think about anything about Mikey Anderson is the fact that an adult goes around by Mikey. But that is something totally different. Leon Draisaitl, as I mentioned, only had one leg for basically the whole game. And he led that team. The Oilers, along with obviously Connor McDavid, was an obvious leader for the Oilers. But Leon Draisaitl playing on one leg in game six after that ugly horse collar slew foot tackle by Mikey Anderson. Just as Tyson Barry said, when you're a player, he didn't say this for word, but this is kind of similar to the sense that he's throwing out there. When you see a player out there, basically on one leg, going out there and making that beautiful, beautiful, beautiful pass he did to Tyson Barry to win the game for the Oilers, you sit there as a teammate, as a fan, and as a coach, as anybody around the organization, you go, why can't I do it? Why can't I go out there and play my feet off, play my butt off for this team when Leon Draisaitl's doing it on one foot? And it was a massive part of last night's game in game six. Speaking of having a massive part for the Oilers, the penalty kill was massive for the Oilers. You're never going to get away with penalties. And I had a little bit of an issue with how the game was officiated. Oh, once again, I'm sorry, I know. In game six. And that caused the Oilers to be down in a lot of silly situations. And the Oilers killed not only the penalty, but a lot of the time they killed the momentum of the Los Angeles Kings and really didn't let them get something started unless they scored the goal like they did on the power play with Sean Durzi in the second period. Which, by the way, all three of the Los Angeles Kings power play goals so far in this series has been from a point shot from Sean Durzi, and it's either been tipped in front by Philippe Danault, or Philippe Danault has just been skating right out in front and been the guy in front of the net. All three of them. Hey, penalty kill? Let's stop that. Let's prevent that. Please. Hello. I mean, and when you take a look at a broken clock, yeah, it's going to be right two times, but it's not going to be right three. So maybe we should start preventing Philippe Danault being in front of the net on the power play and Sean Durzi shooting it. Okay. Well, I mean, let's do it. You know how you do that? Block shots. And that Chris Russell had four of them. Yeah, not bad. We'll get to the Oilers' defense in just a little bit here. Just to end off the first period of today's episode, let's talk about those goaltender interference, excuse me, calls. Two of them did not go the Oilers' way. They were ugly. They were bad. The one cost the Oilers a goal. Evander Kane a goal. That, I mean, we're going to get a little bit more into it as well later on into this episode. But Jay Woodcroft said he was listening to his video coach there, who has been fantastic throughout the entire season. If you ask a lot of Oilers fans, they go, oh, yeah, that guy, we don't know. He's the faceless wonder, but he has been fantastic so far. I think if you also asked a lot of Oilers fans and a lot of media around this game, they would have said that goal for Evander Kane that got called off because of goaltender interference probably would have stood. Probably would have been a good hockey goal. Alex Edler forced Zach Hyman into the crease, which he barely even touched Jonathan Quick. In fact, it was Alexander Edler's skate that took out Jonathan Quick that eventually The puck found Evander Kane's stick behind or next to the net back door and put it in. Nothing to do with the Oilers. I have zero conception as to why the Oilers could have possibly not. They were up 2-0 at the time. We all know how the Oilers have done on the power play or on the penalty kill, excuse me, against the LA Kings power play so far in the series. So why not go for it? What are we doing? That killed so much momentum, let the LA Kings get back in the game, and eventually they tied it at 2-2 when really the Oilers should have been up 3-0. I'm sorry, but that is okay because Tyson Barrie, as I mentioned, scored the game-winning goal, a massive goal from the Oilers defenseman, as we will get into just how important the Oilers defensemen were in game 6. But first, I want to tell you about our friend Built Bar, because I always talk about Built Bar and their puffs. But imagine clipping your finger into a plastic tub, dipping your finger. Could you imagine dipping your finger into a plastic tub of birthday cake frosting and then opening your eyes and realizing that it was only 150 calories and 16 grams of protein? Could you imagine that? That is what it's like to eat from the birthday cake puff from Built Bar. Hey, I said I love those puffs. I just received my birthday cake puffs, and I have, my birthday's in December, and I still got them. And I have never had anything like this before. They're available right now, and we can't promise that they will be there tomorrow. Like I said, I got mine. They are fantastic. Go get them today at Built.com. All Built puffs are covered in 100% real chocolate. That means with Built, you can eat healthy and actually enjoy doing it. Not exactly something you do all the time. And they're made with collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently and provides ton of health benefits. Go to Built.com to get your birthday cake puffs now. When you get down to Built.com, you can use the promo code LOCKED15. That is LOCKED15. 15 to get 15% off your order. Once again, you go to built.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, that is 15, to get 15% off your next order. It is getting warm in here as for the third episode in a row this week, I've had to take my glasses off. That is okay. That is all right. That is beyond all right. And you know what else was beyond all right for the Edmonton Oilers? As I put my glasses back on and they still fog up. You know what else was all right for the Edmonton Oilers in game 6? The defense. Yeah. The defense, baby. As we said yesterday, as we said in the Oilers press conference after game 5, if the Oilers score 4 goals, you probably should be winning the game. Connor McDavid said it. Jay Woodcroft alluded to it. A lot of Oilers alluded to the fact that when you score 4, you better win the game. Well, they scored 4 in game 5, and they did not win. In fact, when they scored 4, they allowed 5. In game 6, when they scored 4, they allowed 2, and they win the hockey game. I know that sounds a little revolutionary over here, but when you're talking about the Oilers, it's not necessarily a guarantee. Now, especially with Darnell Nurse missing game 6 for the Edmonton Oilers with that suspension of the headbutt on Philip Deneau in game 5. But I'm rubbing my hands, everybody, because Brett Kulak is the Oilers' second best defenseman behind Darnell Nurse. I said it. Putting the glasses away because I'm going to look right in the camera and say it again so you truly understand me. Brett Kulak is the Edmonton Oilers' second best defenseman, and he proved it last night in game six. You can put that guy on the first pairing, second pairing, third pairing. He can be the seventh guy. Heck, put him as a winger. We'll see how he does back there. Remember when the Leafs were talking about potentially doing 3D, two Oilers, or two forwards, excuse me? Why not? Throw Kulak out there. I don't care. The more I see Kulak, the better for the Oilers. And Brett Kulak was a fiend for the Oilers. He had 21:19 on time on ice, 21 minutes, 19 seconds time on ice during that game. He really stepped into that role, that number one role. Well, number 1B, I guess, or 1A, depending on how you see Cody Ceci. Because, hey, I will very gladly put out there that Cody Ceci is the 2B, the second B best Oilers defenseman on the team. Because honestly, just like we've talked about so much since Jay Woodcroft took over for the Oilers on February 10th, Cody Ceci has also been one of, if not the best Oilers defenseman, excuse me, since February 10th. Brett Kulak, almost called him Brett Ceci and put them both together. Brett Kulak threw three hits, had an assist as well in the game for the Oilers, and 3 minutes and 8 seconds on the penalty kill. And he went out there and did his job. He doesn't care. He doesn't care who he's out against. He's just going to go out there and work his hardest. Work his hardest on anyone. Put out there on Jay Kopitar. Put out almost called him Anje Deneau, Philip Deneau. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Kempe, anybody. This guy is going to outwork absolutely anybody you put out in front of him. And even if it's a grit guy, even if it's a guy who's going to get up into your face, Brett Kulak's a big man. He is a big farm boy from Spruce Grove, Stony Plain. Same area to me. I'm sorry if you're from Stony Plain or Spruce Grove. I'm from Southside Edmonton. I apologize. But he's a small town farm boy guy. He's a big boy. He's a strong boy. You're going to get in his face. He played that Alberta hockey. Yeah, I'm going to tell you right now, it's not going to be easy for anybody getting up in his face. And he definitely made it not easy for anybody for the LA Kings in game six for the Oilers. Plus, let's talk about the rest of the defense. Cody Ceci, as we already mentioned, what a game for Cody Ceci. He gets two assists last night for the Oilers in game six. In game three, he had three assists. So he has 5 points in this series. Five. All of them being assists. Come on, Cody Ceci. I remember back when the Oilers first signed Cody Ceci in the summer, and everybody's like, you mean the guy from Ottawa a couple years ago that everybody hated? Oh, you mean the guy from Toronto a couple years ago everybody hated? And now he's one of the Oilers' premier shutdown defensemen. I feel comfortable with Ceci on the ice. And we talked about just how good Cody Ceci actually is for the Oilers just this week. And he went out there and showed why. Every Oilers defenseman last night in game six showed up and did their job. Duncan Keith, let me just get my stats out here for every defenseman here. Duncan Keith, 20 minutes, 26 seconds time on ice with 2:02 on the penalty kill with two blocked shots for Duncan Keith as well last night. Massive, massive game for Duncan Keith. I know he gets a lot of flack or catches a lot of flack from Oilers fans, but he's exactly what the Oilers need in the dressing room. I'm sure he was one of the most vocal guys going into game six and really, really, really pushed the confidence going into game six for the Oilers, because there was a lot of talk about whether or not the Oilers were going to come out, with some sort of bravado, if they're going to come out with desperation, scared, how they were going to come out, and they came out great for the Oilers. Chris Russell as well. You want to talk block shots? He got four of them in 14 minutes and 31 seconds. 1 minute and 39 of them were shorthanded. What else needs to be said about the guy who hasn't played a game in this series except has he even stepped into the series? I don't even think he has. Like, this guy comes out here and you know exactly what you're going to get out of Chris Russell. And it is 15 strong minutes. It is 15 of the best defensive minutes you will see a defenseman put out in a game. Every time you realize it. Chris Russell, as I mentioned, 4 blocks in that game. Tyson Barry, +2 for the Oilers, obviously scoring that game-winning goal, and he deserved it. The Oilers defensemen deserve to score the game-winning goal because, I mean, yes, we know we talked about the Oilers eventually choking up that lead. It was off of a power play goal from Sean Durzi in the second, and then only 29 seconds into the third, Carl Grundstrom, who seems to be an Oiler killer for some reason, getting a goal for the Oilers in, or getting a goal for the Kings, excuse me, as I mentioned, only 29 seconds in. That's a tough start for the Oilers. I was going to say the start of the third period is going to be just as important as the start of the first period. And as I was writing that down, Grundstrom scored. So tough. I don't honestly even blame the Oilers defenseman for that second goal either, to be honest with you. Finally, Evan Bouchard. Quiet night for Evan Bouchard. Only one hit for Evan Bouchard, which is nice to see, the fact that the kid is actually still throwing his body around, even though he's not necessarily the most active, most obvious guy out on the ice. He gets 17 minutes tonight with 1 minute 23 on the penalty kill. Every single Oilers defenseman, other than Philip Broberg, who played 3 minutes and 16 seconds, yes, 3:16 for the Oilers in Game 6, every single Oiler got at least a couple minutes on the power play, or penalty kill, excuse me, at least a minute and a half, really, on the penalty kill. And every single Oiler, except for Chris Russell and Philip Broberg, every single Oilers defenseman got at least 15 minutes of ice time, and they made it work. All right, we're going to go into the good, the bad, and the ugly of Game 6, and just what exactly the Edmonton Oilers need to do in Game 7 to advance to the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. But first, I want to tell you about our partners, Bet Online. Our partners at Bet Online continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including this year's NHL hockey playoffs. I haven't even taken a look at what the odds are for Game 7 yet, so I'm going to have to take a look at that. Major League Baseball is in full swing, as we mentioned. I'm going to mention the Dodgers again because the Oilers are playing LA, so if you're keeping tabs on LA, keep tabs on the Dodgers. As I mentioned, they won 11-1, lost 5-3. They were down 7-1 going into like the fifth inning last night, pulled it back to 7-7, and then they lost in like the ninth inning. So I could only imagine what the odd lines for that on Bet Online was throughout the game. Next season's NFL futures are coming out as well. The season schedule for the NFL just came out like yesterday as well. So there's going to be some interesting lines going on there as well. Bet Online is your continued source for all of your sporting wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and much more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. Bet Online, where the game starts. And where we're going to end in today's third period, as we mentioned, the good, the bad, and the ugly from game number 6 for the Edmonton Oilers, and just the game in general, to be honest with you, because the ugly isn't necessarily to do really even with the players. It has something to do with something else, and I'm sorry if you're here from a couple episodes ago. This is a tired subject, but let's start off with the good, shall we? Let's start off on a good note. Brett Kulak and the defense. I just went over the entire defensive stats with you, because let's be honest with you, that defense was fantastic for the Oilers. That is the good for the Oilers, as I mentioned, but more specifically, Brett Kulak. Brett Kulak is the key for the Oilers in Game 5, again, with that assist for the Oilers, +2, 21-19 on the ice for the Oilers for Brett Kulak. And again, those 3 hits really making the LA Kings wonder, ooh, where's Brett Kulak? Is he going to hit me? Where's That's massive. That is massive. That is exactly what the Oilers need from their defensemen, especially with Darnell Nurse out of the lineup. So the good for the Oilers in Game 6, Brett Kulak. Let's go to the bad. And as most people know, the English language is quite, let's say, flexible. So my bad for Game 6 is Connor McDavid, because Connor McDavid is a bad, bad man. Yeah, yeah, he is. A goal and 2 assists for 3 points for Connor McDavid. 24 minutes on the ice, his longest so far in the series. Excuse me. There we go. His longest time on ice in the series so far for Connor McDavid. I mean, I mentioned in my notes, I was writing down notes in Game 5, and honestly, I wrote down saying this needs to be the time that Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid step up for the Oilers. It was obvious in Game 5 that, you know what, the secondary scoring just wasn't going to be there, and if they were going to do it, it was going to have to be on Leon and Connor's shoulders, and Leon and Connor stepped up. They stepped up. As I mentioned, Leon had 1 foot for the entire game. Connor McDavid went out there and scored the first goal of the game and set the precedent. He put the team on his back and was ready to go from puck drop. That's a leader. That is a leader. I'm sorry, but that is all in all a leader for the Edmonton Oilers. And I'm just looking over at my stats here. With that goal, it's his third goal of the series and his 9th assist, which puts him, if I'm very good at math, at 12 points in 6 games for the Oilers. The bad for Game 6 is Connor McDavid, because he is a bad, bad man. Alrighty, let's go into the ugly. I am sorry. I'm going to preface this with an apology already, because as you have probably been here for the last couple of episodes, the officiating in the NHL playoffs need to be better. There, I said it. I can hear you groaning while you're listening to this already. I know it is a tired excuse, and I'm not blaming anything in regards to the game and to the outcome of the game at all to the refs. I don't think the Oilers won the game because of the way the refs called the game. I don't think the Kings lost the game because of the way the officials called the game. I don't think that it had an outcome, or excuse me, I don't think that the officials effect had an effect on the outcome of the game. There we go. That's what I'm trying to say. But they are affecting the flow of the game. And I know that doesn't seem like a very important thing. And I know I went on a massive tangent just the other day about it, so I won't again. But we've got to have some sort of audit here. We just have to sit back and say, you know what? That was a bad call. I think you go back into that game, and a lot of people on Sportsnet were even saying when the refs go back to this game, when they see the Grundstrom penalty, when all of a sudden Carl Grundstrom was flying through the air on a cross-check from Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, where he cross-checked down. So please explain to me, when it comes to science, how Carl Grundstrom could possibly be flying through the air on a cross-check that went down his pants, essentially. Please tell me how Jonathan Quick extending out for a goaltender or for a poke check on Kyler Yamamoto is a goaltender interference. Please explain to me why Arthur Kaliev lining up Connor McDavid in the middle of the ice when there's no puck even close to anybody isn't a penalty. What are we doing? That Connor McDavid was almost hurt. Leon Draisaitl was slew-footed in a scrum by Mikey Anderson, who has been one of the dirtiest players in this series. The policing of the game just hasn't been policing. It's just been guessing. It's just been, oh, yeah, I guess I'll call something now. The call on Yamamoto late in the game, I called it. I messaged my friends in our group chat saying the Oilers are going to take a penalty here soon. Thankfully, Tyson Barrie scored a goal before that happened, because if Tyson Barrie didn't score that goal, the Oilers would be golfing on Tuesday. Genuinely. You saw a penalty call coming from 15 minutes prior. Why? Okay, I'm sorry. I'm getting too into it. I know. I'm sorry. I am beating a dead horse here. Game seven, baby. The Edmonton Oilers are going to a game seven for the first time since May 10th of 2017, baby. Okay, I know that didn't go the way the Oilers and Oilers fans would have wanted it, as we sure do remember what happened in that 2-1 game against the Anaheim Ducks. Hey, as I mentioned in our NHL, and on Locked On Now, I mentioned that the goal scorer in that game, Drake Cajula for the Oilers. Yeah. Drake Cajula scored the only goal in Game 7 for the Oilers in 2017. Excuse me. Yes. Let's call it there, everybody. Let's call it there, because I don't want to harp again too much on the refs on Game 6, because we have a Game 7. Thank you so much for tuning in to Locked On Oilers. We are so thankful for you stopping by. Thank you so much for making Locked On Oilers your first listen every day. For your next listen, check out Locked On Now. Nightly recaps of every NHL game with analysis from local experts. It is free and available wherever you find your podcast. Thank you so much. As well, make sure you listen to Locked On NHL, from first round matchups to each and every NHL Stanley Cup kiss. Locked On NHL covers the playoffs like no other. Hear the latest news and opinions from local experts every Monday through Friday. It is free and available wherever you find your podcast. And it's even on YouTube. And we're on YouTube. And I'm waving to the YouTube crowd. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. I hope you have a wonderful Friday. And we shall see you Saturday for a home game 7 for the Edmonton Oilers. Puck drop goes at 8, probably around 8:20, let's be real. But that's okay. We don't care. We got playoff game 7 at home. We shall see you there in Rogers Place. Stay safe, everybody. Have a terrific weekend.